I think they like you, Steve.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
And 6:10, hi, beautiful day. Oh man, is it going to be nice today. If you haven't already thought of this, don't go to work today. I'm telling you right now.
Now you tell me.
Yeah, no, you guys missed the boat. It is going to be 80-81-ish. Nice. Steve, is that right? 80-81-ish? 80-81-ish, maybe 82-ish?
Maybe 84-ish. 84-ish.
How's in the humidity? Sunshine.
The humidity's been a killer lately.
No, it's going to be nice today. Yeah. Today's a great day. Call in sick. Seriously, call in sick.
Kind of late for that.
Steve, I don't think I could make it.
Dave, you sound fine to me. You should come in.
Dark.
But I would say pick a condition that's tough to trace.
Right. Contagious.
Either say you've got something that's, personal, you know. So
yeah. I once told an employer, I said, I'm just feeling pretty disillusioned today.
Disillusioned. You called in disillusioned.
Yeah. How about that?
It's a mood disorder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Botulism. I mean, that's something you don't hear every day. Right? Use that.
Right.
You don't have time to check and see if there's a spread of botulism.
See, women have it easy. All they have to say is, I have a woman issue.
I've got a girl thing.
Yeah, girl thing.
Yeah. And got a girl thing going on.
You know, everybody just say, okay, no problem.
Yeah, but if you have a female boss, wouldn't they pursue that? I mean, a guy boss will go, okay.
Well, they kind of, sometimes they do, actually, but no. The guy thing, for sure, use it.
What about scurvy? Scurvy? Oh, really? Yeah. Rickets?
I don't think that's going to work.
That's all doctor's notes territory. That's the problem.
Unless you're a pirate.
Disillusioned. There's nothing you can do about it. You know?
When you're disillusioned?
I just need a day.
I'm calling in sad.
Yeah.
I'm calling in sad. But how could you be sad on a day like this? Come on, people. Hello. Dr. Kevin Wells coming up. We'll give you the results of our British Open picks as well. Boy, what a British Open. Whew, I know you didn't miss a minute.
I didn't miss a minute.
I actually watched it.
Wasn't it great?
I watched the end, yes.
It was tremendous.
Good for me.
And Francesco Molinari is the first Italian to win a major in golf. And he had to follow around. Here's what happens when you're playing with Tiger Woods. You not only have to focus on your own game, but the minute Tiger Woods finishes a hole, everybody leaves the party. They all run to the next hole. And you still got to hit a putt. You still got to get out of the hole. So he was impressive, the little guy.
He's
all 5 feet, 8 inches of him.
Mm-hmm. It's probably better for the concentration to deal with all the people.
Wait till everybody leaves?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to stand here until it's very quiet. Tiger played great.
He did.
He's right on the verge, man. Right on the verge. Later on as well, in studio, Coach Fitz. Have you met him, Dave?
I have, yes. I watched him play as a player. And can't wait to talk to him.
I was telling Dave in the crosstalk, I was downtown around 5 yesterday, and the Big Ten teams are all in town because it's media day.
Oh, so was it just a sea of jerseys?
It was a sea of young men with long blonde hair coming out of the Marriott being like, I'm going to walk down Michigan Avenue, like defensive ends and things like that. But then there was this crew around the hotel, like with big duffel bags and helmets and things like that, to get all these players to sign stuff. It was almost like a memorabilia craze around.
College signatures a big deal now?
I didn't think it was.
It is. And they have the big, the kickoff luncheon is tomorrow, which is, they've done that for years, and it's always a huge event.
But how did they miss this memo? The college autographs are a huge deal.
And these guys were active.
All autographs are a big deal now.
Dweeby guys. Let me put it that way. They were dweeby guys with a bunch of hope.
Oh, speaking of dweeby guys, do we have time for this now?
Yeah, I think we're doing.
Yeah, we have time. Okay, cool. Because we'll get to the top six here in just a second. You see this every year somewhere, but you don't want to see it in your own town. A bald guy at Wrigley Field stole a ball from a little kid yesterday when the ball was flipped to him. Who flipped the ball to him?
Well, the Cubs got him a ball from Javi Baez.
Yeah, but who in the video?
It was Venable, the coach.
Yeah, so Venable, there's a ball that kind of rolls under the tarp.
Yeah,
and this kid and his mom are sitting front row. It's a big day, man. They're sitting front row right behind the tarp. And Venable takes the ball and tosses it to the kid. Well, the kid doesn't know the ball's coming, and he misses it.
Yeah.
It bounces under the seat, and a guy who is minimally 45, he might be 50, dives on the ball, grabs it, and then hands it to his wife, who continues to look at her phone, right. And he gives a thumbs up. He pats the guy next to him on the knee, and his own two kids, two little boys, 10 and 12, couldn't have been more embarrassed. They were just sitting there like, oh, Dad's a jerk.
Yeah.
He's just a jerk. Well, the Cubs did a good thing. The Cubs got him the Baez ball. Right. But the guy, I'm trying to avoid cursing
it's
here.
The power shaming.
He's the jackass of the day.
What is jackass, most valuable jackass?
Now, I did see one report online last night, and I don't know if this is correct, that he had earlier gotten a ball and given it to that kid.
I don't care.
I guess it doesn't matter.
Give it to
his
own kid or to another kid.
Maybe he already gave. Maybe he's been given six balls. He's given it to everybody. Yeah. This is the one got on camera that he's collected.
Okay. When you show me video proof of that, I'll stop calling a guy a jackass.
No, I don't disagree with you. But I'm just saying, you know, it is there.
I wish I had you, Steve.
You saw this one moment.
I would say, 84, I was at Comiskey, and Harold Baines hit a pop-up, and it was close to the seats, and I went running for it, and it was bouncing around. Mm-hmm. And a large man sat on me. Put me to the ground. Somebody else got the ball. And then he famously said, and we always quote this in the family, I wish the little guy would have got it. Like, why did you sit on me?
Well, and how about you just grab the ball and hand it off?
Yeah, right.
Possibly. And here's the reason I doubt that internet story you saw, Dave. If you look at the video, and I've examined this hundreds of times since last night.
Slow motion?
If you look at the video, the mom of the kid looks very upset.
You're right.
She looks upset, like, how could you take a ball from a little boy?
Yeah, why would you do that? Yeah.
So I don't think this guy gets a break. And by the way, he looked like, remember the Bartman tape? The guy sitting next to Bartman, who never took any crap, Bartman, you know, has been shunned for years. But there's a guy, a fat guy in a sweater or a sweatshirt, sitting next to Bartman. I think it's the same guy.
Same guy.
You don't think in 15 years he would have aged a little bit?
Or slimmed down?
Oh, no, he did age and he lost some hair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, at least the Cubs did the right thing, got him a ball.
Yeah, but this guy's an insult to all bald guys. So, and I won't have it. By the way, if you want to out him this morning, just call.
that's really what you're looking for, isn't it?
Yeah.
312-981-7200. We'll give you a text question later as well. And did I miss anything? I think I'm covered. If not, we'll come up with it later on. 617. Top 6 at 6. Everything you need to know to start a Monday that you're going to call in sick for. That's coming up in just a second. But first, what's coming up at 6:30?
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't keep your kicks. With the Top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Item number one, as mentioned, 45 shot this weekend?
44 people shot over the weekend, 28 the weekend before, so almost double the weekend before.
It's just the awful continues in a handful of some of the toughest neighborhoods, and how these people thrive and survive every day just trying to live their lives is outrageous. We have other places in the world where this sort of horrific behavior is going on as well, and because it's not so common, I suppose, it's a bigger news story.
Well, yeah, East Garfield Park this weekend, I think there was a mass shooting, if you would call it that, and four or five people in one shooting.
And the definition, anytime over three, three or more.
But I think that it speaks volumes to the fact of what happened in Toronto as well. You see what happens in Chicago, and we just kind of lump it into one big number and move on with our day.
And the first person to have a solution to this, raise your hand.
Yeah, right.
Because no one has a solution to this yet that's not a long-term solution.
How about it be an issue in both the gubernatorial and the mayoral campaigns? How about that?
How about the primary issue?
Right.
Yeah, totally agree. In Toronto, a black-clad gunman opened fire in a busy neighborhood of Toronto Sunday night, according to Toronto police. 14 were shot in the incident. The shooter had a handgun. It was killed in exchange of gunfire after police arrived on the scene. We have a young lady deceased now as well. We have a young girl, 8 or 9, in critical condition. It could have been terrorism. They haven't ruled that out yet, but they don't know the actual circumstance or motive here. Meanwhile, in a Saturday night in L.A., a 17-year-old kid gets in an argument with his grandmother, ends up shooting his grandmother. and shot someone else on the scene, goes on a run from the police, ends up smashing into a pole outside of a Trader Joe's, runs into the Trader Joe's, holds hostages for up to 3 hours, and shoots the store manager and kills her. Why?
That's terrible.
Yeah, why?
Yeah, I don't know.
You just can't make sense of it. Next. That Branson duck boat story is, well, it's as bad as you heard. And there's someone now who said that they inspected the ducks ahead of time back in 2017 and said, you got to fix this, and is not sure it was fixed. I think one of the more disturbing aspects of this story was, did you hear that there was 70-mile-an-hour winds when they went out? How is that? First off, who does that, and who on the boat doesn't go, whoa?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how you go out in that.
They weren't the only boat out there.
Is that right?
Well, yeah. There was the video from another boat that was showing the famous video is from a different boat. So
yeah,
I don't
think there were like three boats
out
there.
I'm not sure what the protocol is, because obviously this private company gets to choose whether or not they go out on the water.
Well, it was 2 miles below hurricane strength.
Yeah, but I mean, they were in a thunderstorm warning, so right. The warning is out there.
Yeah, the warning was in place for 32 minutes before this boat went under.
So the question is, do they not follow some sort of protocol that says if there is a warning, we don't go out? Do they get to choose when they go out?
The captain doesn't want to die. Why would the captain go out of that?
You just wonder about how, I mean, obviously the unsaid thing is about money and the idea that they make money if they're on the water and they don't if they hold in.
And the other thing, too, is were they even monitoring the weather? That's the other part of this. Right. I mean, if nobody was monitoring the weather and didn't know there was a warning...
Well, as we sit here in Chicago in the Midwest, it doesn't take much. Look up. If you see a scary sky, don't take a boat out in the middle of a lake. That should be common sense. But I suppose there's more to be discovered here. But the mechanical inspector, Stephen Paul, said, look, I warned him. And they didn't fix the problem, apparently. The tragic accident killed 17 and injured 7 others, including, was it 8 or 9 from one family? Next. Donald Trump just can't seem to relax and kick back and sleep. I tweeted out last night. I said, get some sleep. There's plenty of time to tweet stupid things tomorrow. Donald Trump, in all caps, warned the Iranian President Rouhani, never, ever threaten the United States again or you will suffer consequences the likes of which few throughout history have suffered before. We're no longer a country that will stand for your demented words of violence and death. Be cautious. This is in response, supposedly, to a Rouhani tweet about the mother of all peace. Is peace with Iran. The mother of all war is war with Iran.
The sentiment is fine. I Trump goes to that statement. I know it's a pet peeve of mine, but the likes of which you've never seen. That statement, he says it all the time. He says about whether it's politics or whether it's the economy or whether it's terrorism or it's a threat from Iran.
There's no reason to take it seriously.
He just always says the likes of which you've never seen. What does that even mean?
You have to also hope, it means nothing. You also have to hope that the people that he's threatening don't take it seriously.
Well,
basically what this means is within 90 days there'll be a summit that will be in Iran's favor.
Yeah, he does have a playbook on this stuff, right?
Well, they're just saying it's going to happen. Tough guy tweets turn into, wow, isn't he great? Mm-hmm. And you can see how that's worked out with North Korea and now with Iran as we go forward. Unless you have Putin's number, if we can call Putin and tell Putin to talk to Trump, he'll do anything Putin says. So if Putin tells him leave Iran alone, I think we're going to be fine.
There's a crazy part of that, by the way. You can't even see Twitter in Iran. If you live in Iran, they don't have access to Twitter. So
you're saying maybe it's just for this country? Or?
Maybe it is. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Just maybe.
The longest total lunar eclipse of the century is coming Friday. The moon will turn a reddish-orange color for more than 100 minutes, and you can't see it here. The Goddard's Flight Space Center told ABC News, you got to be in the Middle East, South or Eastern Africa, Western or Southeast Asia, and India. Steve, as much as you love the space stuff, we should fly you to Bangladesh or something.
What about a remote?
Oh, that's not bad.
I would happily accept that. That'd be kind of cool.
You want to do a Marrakesh morning show?
Sure. I think we should do a remote from Bangladesh on Friday. Only Friday, but that's all that we can afford.
Actually, any of the Eshes. Any of the Eshes where it works out.
Right. The beauty of NASA is that they have generally a live camera from one of those locations.
It's not the same.
We should be able to do the top 6 at 6 from Bangladesh.
Right. And then come back.
Be home by dinner on Friday night.
Next! Let's go live to Dave, who's standing at Heathrow in London, prepared to come home. I don't know why you went that way. You could have gotten a plane closer to where the British Open was. But, you know, it's your call.
My flight's been canceled, actually.
Oh,
I'm going to be late getting home. Francesco Molinari, the winner of the British Open, Steve.
First Italian.
First Italian, first major of his career, and he had a hold off a great leaderboard on Sunday. Jordan Spieth looked for a while like he was going to win it. Rory McIlroy made a charge with an eagle.
Tiger was leading.
Himself. Tiger Woods had a one-shot lead midway through his round, but then hit a spectator. And from there, things kind of fell apart for him.
And I thought that was weird. He actually punched a dude. No, he hit a spectator with a golf ball.
And then he, of course, went over, shook his hand, and
gave him a glove.
Didn't really help him a whole lot.
Yeah, he gave him a glove and signed it.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. So, that's kind of tradition, right? I mean,
Phil Mickelson gave a guy his watch once, a Rolex. He hit a guy with a ball and he took his Rolex off and gave it to him.
So you think the guy that Tiger hits feeling like he didn't sure really get changed. Much of a deal?
And he put a hex on Tiger.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
that too.
That's why it worked out that way. It's good for golf if Tiger Woods plays better, and he did yesterday, and he's right on the verge. And then we have this happy story.
What?
Chicago's been named the rat capital of America.
Yeah. Oh, man.
The city of Chicago's been dubbed the rat capital of America, according to apartment search service RentHop, which said Chicago had the highest amount of rat-related complaints of four major U.S. cities, including New York. The data compiled by the website showed there were more than 50,000 rat-related complaints in 2017.
Okay.
The ultimate equalizer.
That's over 100 a day.
For all these rich neighborhoods, and whether it be the West Loop or Lincoln Park, you just anyone looks at that, you ever see any big travel show that's like, and the number one neighborhood, yeah, they got rats.
Fake news. Okay. You read the headline, Chicago is the rat capital of the world, and then in the second sentence you said, of the four major cities surveyed.
That's true.
Come on.
Well, I didn't say rat capital of the world. I said of the country. No, is there a headline that says of the world?
But even of the country, well, you only did four cities.
I mean,
well, the four biggest cities would have the most rats.
But you can't call something the capital of the country.
Don't take away our title. We're the rat capital.
We earned it. We worked hard. This is I mean, it is a mayoral election season, so maybe the incumbent can run on this.
There's a reality show here.
Yeah,
flip that rat.
Go to Rat Tail, Indiana, and I bet you there are more rats in. I mean, there has to be another city that has more rats.
I think it has to do with so much construction, all the cranes and the construction in every neighborhood and every little corner in
displacing
Chicago.
Displacing
rats. Oh, those rats must be like, well, let's hit the streets.
I think they should count possums in the suburbs.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you can always hear. You can always tell where the rats are because you hear them singing. Ben, the two of us need look no more. If you hear that, you know you got a rat. Got a rat problem. I was in a very nice. David, I ever tell you this? I was in a very nice hotel in London. This is
yes,
4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Literally right across from Buckingham Palace, standing in the lobby talking to the a little too friendly bellman, who proceeded to tell me. You might not know this in America, but in London, anywhere you stand, you're within 4 feet of a rat.
Yep. I think, actually, every time you tell that, they get closer. Because I think it was 6 feet. Now it's down to 4 feet.
Well, listen, it's been 4 years. They've certainly moved along.
Yep.
They're improving.
That's your top six at six.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
He's Northwestern Medicine DP. Call Dr. Most right now. Dr.
Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. And Doc joins us now. Doc, we have the final results. You should have been in on these picks. I don't know. We screwed up.
Yeah, I would have picked Molinari.
Yeah, I know you would have. Probably would have gone with 8-under.
Yep.
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 Number seven in the picks, and this won't bother him a bit. Steve Grzanich, you were last. Steve Grzanich finished dead last.
Par for the course, right?
No, it wouldn't be par. You were 22 over with your three picks.
So how would we describe that?
That's not great.
That's the one phrase that doesn't work for.
Over par for the course.
Over par for the course.
Justin, for a guy that six. Doesn't know golf or follow golf, you did well. You were sixth, but you were only plus five for your three players.
That's not good enough.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Dave Ennett.
On Ricky Fowler.
Dr. Most, Dave Ennett, renowned sports expert, sports director, sports legend in Chicago. He was fifth.
Okay, two things. DJ killed me because he missed the cut. And
he told you to pick him.
He bombed. And who had 7-under as the winning score? Which I don't see anybody else close to that.
Well, you know, when you're fifth, it doesn't matter what the tiebreaker is.
It really does.
I'd like to also.
So, Steve, you're going down, right? So
yeah.
I haven't heard Mary Vandeveld's name yet, but it's her Dave's.
Here we go.
Just wait.
Okay. Doc,
just
really?
Sure.
Can I just add that you picked for me, Steve? So
I did.
Technically, you lost.
Well, that was after I picked my own guest.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's still on you, Steve.
So that's a mulligan. That's a mulligan,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. You shouldn't have trusted.
Don't act like you know what a mulligan is now, Steve. Super Joe, who's in day four of his weekend wedding. What kind of wedding lasts until Monday?
Yeah, I know.
What is he doing? Wedding was Saturday.
Well, it takes a while to get back from Cleveland.
Was he walking?
He could get back from Carnoustie quicker.
By the way, Curtis is here today, and he's doing a great job. But anyway, Super Joe finished fourth. Third was me.
No big deal. Top three.
Second, Mary Vandeveld. Nice job, Mary.
What do you mean second? I should have got first.
Well, you would have if not for the fact that the person scoring the entire thing
isn't here.
Mary Sandberg won. She was 16 under par. You were 14 under par.
Oh, man. But I picked two of the top guys, first and second.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like their names.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah.
You
Molinaro picked three. And Xavier.
It's actually Molinari and Xander.
Xander.
Close, though. And Mary Sandberg had McIlroy, Molinari, and Day, and just happened to finish a little higher than you did.
Man.
Does this excite you enough, Mary, to take up golf?
I was watching it. You know what part I loved the best? I loved the best when the baby was crying and somebody was trying to get out of the bushes.
Yeah, Xander shuffling.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, they should really remove the baby. I said, what? Why remove the baby? He's the one that, you know, drove the ball into the bushes.
It's his fault.
Yes. He should have to deal with the crying
baby.
Well,
the parent should move the baby.
The lady didn't want to lose her spot.
Well, it's like a baby in church. You got to move the baby.
But she'd lose her spot. No, I say no.
Actually, the kid behaved. The kid was fine.
Well, yeah, but
guy hit the shot. It was fine. Yeah. So, Doc, did you watch?
Oh yeah, yep.
It was a great leaderboard.
It was probably one of the most exciting majors we've seen in a while.
So, congratulations again to golf because Tiger Woods is back. You can't argue that he's not. And the little Italian, the most famous little Italian today since Al Pacino. All 5'8" of Francesco Molinari won and deserved to win. I was talking about this. It's like playing golf with Dr. Most. As soon as Doc puts out, the gallery leaves. It's just like when you're playing with Tiger.
Yeah, so. That can be distracting, though. So
yeah.
How are you? I try to tell him to wait until you're done. But
all right. There you go. We don't have that kind of time.
Right.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Did you have a nice weekend?
Yeah. We had our invitational this weekend, Larry, Ryan, and I. We...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Didn't go so well.
Well, when you go lose, that's.
It's all your definition of how lose is good or bad. Our own Larry Wirt may have played in that tournament. That's a rumor I'm hearing.
Yes, Larry played with Kevin Butler. Yep.
How'd they do?
They won the first day. I think they lost the second day, and I'm not sure how they did the third day. I didn't see them, so that means they probably won. Because the losers play in the morning, so I was there early and I didn't see those guys.
The Butterfield Country Club has a lot of famous folks who play in this event, or members and stuff. Anybody famous win the whole thing?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Brian Campbell, who's going to be on later today with you, mm-hmm. he played. Mm-hmm. Will Perdue played. Will beat us one day. Mm-hmm. Patrick Sharp played and couldn't have been nicer to all the kids that went out to follow him.
Sharpie's a good dude. Yeah.
Yep. Yep, and then Butthead and Wirt played as well. So yeah, it was a good event. It's always fun, and when you lose, you just have to laugh and say, you know what? Every other Friday, I still get paid by someone. So
yeah, I don't think you. But when you called and were cursing on my voicemail, I don't think you were ready quite to accept that. I guess at that point,
no.
Yeah,
ease into that.
Yeah, Will Perdue's golf clubs, by the way, are over 16 feet long. If you know that, how weird does it look seeing him swing a golf club?
He could not have been nicer.
Well, he's a great guy, but I mean, he's seven feet tall, swinging a golf club.
Yeah.
So I think a foam pole. Big kids, a foam pole is a thing that used to hold phone wires. How old's Grandpa Cochran?
They still have those.
When we come back, yeah, I guess they do. When we come back, Doc, where would you like to hit the insurance question today?
You know, I think there's so many fascinating things going on with insurance right now, and people are confused. What's a subscription? What's a concierge? And then really, you know, every time at open enrollment, you have to go and you have to choose your plan. And I think just some pointers as far as Make sure you do. Make sure you pick the right plan that's right for you financially, as well as that's right for you as far as who you want to take care of you and where, what hospital you would want to be cared for at.
All right, we'll come back, hit some of that next. First, what's coming up at 7?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It's Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. And, Doc, let's jump in here. We're talking about insurance again this week because we're trying to give you at least the basics. You mentioned ahead sort of an insurance wrangler, somebody that can help talk you through it. Where do you find somebody like that?
Yeah, it's very difficult because obviously you have all these insurance companies competing for your business. But hopefully each of you, if you work for a company that's big enough, you should have someone in your HR department that you can sit down and talk to with them about which insurance plan is best for you and which insurance plan is best for your family as well.
The thing that strikes me about the exchange is every year during open enrollment time, you go to the exchange page and there's a questionnaire that narrows down what plans might be best for you, but then you only get like three or four choices.
Yeah, definitely. You know, states are going to limit their choices. Counties are actually going to limit their choices, and hospitals certainly will limit their choices as far as it goes to the exchange portion of it. So if you're buying on the marketplace, then definitely do your homework and find out which hospitals are in your plan. Because nothing worse. I'll give you a perfect example. We don't happen to be in Illini Care here at CVH. Now, if you live in Winfield or Wheaton and you have Illini Care, we can't care for you here. You're going to end up having to be seen at another hospital.
Dr. Most, I'm always intrigued by subscription models or even the concierge, as you mentioned, but that seems, is this the trend where you see insurance companies going, this idea of more subscription-based insurance plans as opposed to what we've had in the past?
Yeah, and Justin, subscriptions actually kind of interesting, right? You know, doctors are so frustrated with paperwork. Patients are so frustrated with paperwork that the subscription plan essentially eliminates that portion of it. So the way a subscription plan works is you pay me, Justin, you pay me $60 a month. You can come to my office as often as you want. I'm going to offer you discounts on pricing, on lab tests. I'm going to tell you up front what everything costs. I'm not billing your insurance at all. That allows you as a consumer to say, I'm going with the highest deductible plan I possibly can. I'm going to have as far as my catastrophic illness will be covered, but I know that my monthly expense is going to be $60 a month for health care. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting how this is playing out right now, because doctors as well as patients are frustrated. The people who have the subscription plans, they limit their size and the number of patients that they take into their practice. So when you call and say, oh, it's going to be 3 weeks, no. For the subscription and concierge, it's like, we'll see you today. What time would you like to be seen?
Do insurance companies like that? Do they like the subscription service?
Oh, they love it because it shifts all of their expense off of them and all the risk off of them. They still have that individual who's still buying that large insurance policy, but they're not getting hit with these bills and all this paperwork. They love it. Administratively, they're better off. Financially, they're better off.
So why isn't everybody doing it?
Well, you know what? It's really starting to be a trend now with the subscription portion of it. The concierge, the personalized medicine, has definitely been there for quite some time. So I think you're going to start to see more of the subscription type coming up as doctors start to get frustrated. The problem is we have a shortage of doctors. The average doctor will have in their panel size what we say is how many patients do they take care of? It's 2,500. When you start to get into subscription services and the concierge, you're starting to see numbers of patients that are 500 to, we'll say, 1,500 patients. So now we have a shortage of doctors and nowhere for patients to go. It just makes the doctors taking traditional medicine even busier.
So how do you decide what plan to go with?
Probably the most important thing is where, what hospital is in network and what hospital physicians that you're going to be going to are in network. So you want to make sure that your doctor that you've gone and seen for 20 years is still going to be in the Blue Cross PPO, the Humana HMO, whichever plan you're going to choose, because that's where you're going to get your foundation for your health care is from that primary care physician. But you also want to make sure that the hospital that would service you in case you did need to have surgery or any other care is also in the plan. So those are the two biggest things that you want to ask your HR person or you want to check with the hospital prior to you just simply checking a box at the time of open enrollment.
Well, I live between two great hospitals.
Yep.
One is really, really strong in cardiac care.
Yep.
And the other is strong in other disciplines. do I have to decide what I'm going to have a problem with later?
No. You do bring up a good point. For you, you know, if you have a doctor that we call as a splitter, he'll go to Rush Copley as well as go to Edward, or he'll go to Edward as well as CDH. You know, those docs are going to be okay. You're going to be all right regardless of what happens there. For other places, it's really going to be if you are going to have a planned, let's say even a heart issue, you need to have a stent placed. You're going to choose the hospital that fortunately is in your plan, as well as the doctor that's going to be taking care of you. So you can't plan for those unexpected stuff, but you certainly want to make sure that the hospitals that you want to have service at are in network.
I always post the notes with the podcast, and don't miss the podcast. Even if you've heard all of this, you can go back and check us for punctuation errors, and also hear the details you might have missed in the original broadcast of this. Podcast get posted shortly after the segment airs live here on the show. Give me one thing you want people to take away from this, one thing you want them to go out and understand today.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, you know, we look more deeply in our benefits at work for other benefits. How much vacation time do I get? You know, what is my flex time and things along those lines. Really take the opportunity to learn more about your health insurance, what it covers, what it doesn't cover. If you're on someone that takes cholesterol medication and you're not taking a generic, look to see what the drug plan is for that insurance product as well. So take the time to sit down, and if you don't know about it, take the information to either your doctor or your HR department and sit and say, help me walk through this process. Sometimes people check that box quickly, just looking at what the monthly premium is, and they're making a bad decision.
Yeah, I got to say, I've heard nothing but rave reviews from doctor's office insurance folks taking the time to talk to patients about what might work for them, including questions that don't necessarily fall under their jurisdiction, as opposed to some HR folks who might not know the business the way they do. So good for you and your staff, Doc, for taking care of that, particularly at Northwestern.
Yep.
All right. Nice talking to you.
Talk to you soon.
Sorry you guys lost last week.
That's okay. There's always next year.
Okay, good call by you. Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, and at 7:01, we're back with your news in a moment on 720 WGN. Summer means a lot of things in Chicago. Amongst them, of course, is Blackhawks Convention. Nothing says summer like hockey.
That's right.
This weekend, the 11th annual, 11 years, wow. 11 years. We've been at every one. 11 years of the Blackhawks Convention, and joining us on the phone is a Chicago Blackhawks legend, handsome devil, and terrific father, Brian Soup Campbell. Soupy!
Stevie, how you doing?
How you been, man?
Been good. Just enjoying, obviously, the Chicago summer. A little rain, but it's been pretty good, I feel like.
And how's the family?
The family's great. My daughter lost her first tooth yesterday, so we had a little visitor last night, I guess, at the house. So,
the kind of money you make, what's the tooth fairy give out? Because at your income level, I would say that kid got a C note, got a $100 bill.
No, that was not happening. But
what about 100 Canadian?
Yeah, maybe. That's about $10 worth right. of American right now.
Right.
No, she was good. So she got to keep the tooth, so the tooth fairy left it for her. So it's pretty fun.
Is there a Canadian tradition for the tooth fairy? Like, do you get, you know, Canadian bacon or something under your pillow? What do you get when you're a kid in Canada?
Yeah, usually they like to change up. You get coins, I guess, more because we use a lot more coins in Canada. So. Yeah, it's not the big paper money.
Yeah, well, listen. All right, so convention this coming weekend. You were at the first several, then you went away for a while. You came back. You've been at the last several. This is an amazing time. Explain to people who've never been at a Blackhawks convention what it's like.
Well, it's kind of nice. It's kind of nice for people to meet players or former players in kind of a relaxed setting. And there's autograph signings, there's one-on-one pictures with players, and then there's a lot of the panel discussions. So I guess the Blackhawks staff mix up the panels and what you're going to kind of focus on talking about, and it's a chance for fans to ask questions to players, whether you would like to learn or maybe try to have a laugh with the player. or learn a little bit more about hockey. So, and the history of the Blackhawks, and there's, I know they have used equipment from the players that smells really good for sale as well. It's all been washed.
Nothing been stinks washed. Like hockey equipment.
So it's a great time. I think the opening ceremonies are really exciting. So, you know, if you're a hockey fan or you're thinking about becoming a hockey fan, I think it's a great way to start, and especially you can head outside and enjoy Chicago downtown or head back inside to get cooled off and look at some history and meet some players.
Brian, did you get a chance to get over to the MBA Ice Arena last week and check out any of the development camp?
I did not make it last week. I wanted to. I had another engagement on, so I couldn't. But definitely looked at some of the video. And I know last week it was kind of they practiced and then they play a little 4-on-4. So it's definitely going to be interesting. It's nice that these guys, the young defensemen that they have signed, will be in camp in September. Sometimes, obviously, when you're an NCAA player, they have to be at school and they're not able to be at camp. So it's going to be exciting to see them in exhibition games. You know, on Boklish, you can see the speed, even on some of the videos I was watching from the camp and how electric it can be. So, you know, I think it's they have a lot of defensemen they drafted the last couple years, and there's a lot of high end talent. So you can never have enough defensemen, and teams are always wanting more. So the Hawks are in a bright spot right there
for the young players and free agents and others that come to Chicago. Obviously, entirely different than it was when you came to town. But you know, do they recognize now this the juggernaut that is the Blackhawks? The fact that you know, obviously being Stanley Cup champions, that the weight of coming to Chicago and playing hockey here?
Yeah, I think it's you want to play in a hockey city. Players want to play in a hockey city, and they want to play for a great owner. And the Blackhawks check those marks off and could be at the top of the list. So, you know, I think definitely when you go to the convention, you see the opening ceremonies, you're kind of blown away by everything. I know I was. I was here early, and then even when I came back, it was even bigger and better. So it's a sports town. It's a hockey town. And for me, it's just the way you're treated by the organization. It's a highly recommended destination, and that's known around the league. And, you know, we're hopefully looking for a bounce back year for the team and to get back to the playoffs and see where it takes them.
16 years as a premier defenseman in the National Hockey League and an aging defensive core. Look at the cliches I'm throwing around for the Chicago Blackhawks, but still two of the best in Seabrook and Keefe. How do you feel about the Blue Liners?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think there was some improvement last year. I think with Gustafson coming up and having confidence. He's a threat on the offensive side. I think anytime, I will say this, when your number one goaltender goes down, they're in a playoff spot.
Impossible.
And it was, you know, I think the all the goalies that were in there, they tried, but it was a case of when sometimes there's bad goals let in, and we all saw it in the second half of the season, and that deflates the defense corps. And that, you know, sometimes I know when I was playing, if I made a mistake and Corey covered it up most of the time, you know, your confidence doesn't sink down and you can stay at that level. And I think it was just waiting for the next shoe to drop kind of thing. And that's a tough way to play. And I know everybody's saying, oh, Duncan had a not as good a year. And you know, I think a lot of that relates going back to when you don't feel like you're going to get the confidence or a stop in some situations, that really affects your play. So I've been there, and I know it affected mine, and it'll affect the other guys. So I think I look at that, and there's nobody that works harder, and I think that some other guys need to step up and keep contributing. And I think Brent had a really good second half, and I know he's been working hard this summer. And,
right.
And I'm hoping to see somebody, a young kid come in here and take away a spot and be a spark plug on the back end. So there's a lot of things that can change around real quick. And obviously, if you have Corey back in net, that just, brings everybody's level. You have a chance to win every night. And that's, a lot of times maybe you couldn't say that on some nights last year.
Without a doubt, and with Cam Ward coming in, he's going to make Corey better, and Corey's going to make him better. So I really like that goalie situation we're going into. And you know the deal, Soup. You don't just get the Stanley Cup. Apparently, you have to play the season first.
Yeah, I think people in Chicago have been spoiled a little bit, and with three championships, what a great run, and hopefully it continues. But you look at other cities and other teams around the league, and that just doesn't happen that way. So, I think they definitely can be a team that can contend this year, and it'll be good to see some of the bright spots.
Staying in shape stuff is tough. And I just salute Brian Campbell because he could go again tomorrow. I mean, a lot of guys, they retire, and 20 minutes later, they're 200 pounds heavier. Soup, fine.
I'm
shape,
ready.
I'm
ready, Steve.
Yeah, I know you are.
I'm ready.
Thanks for the call, by the way. I'm sorry I couldn't play golf with you last weekend in that big tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all right, Steve. I'm struggling at times, but
you sure you have the right number? I'm just curious. You sure you have the right number? good to talk to you, bud. We'll see you at convention.
All right, can't wait to see everybody this weekend, and it's always great seeing the Blackhawks fans because they'll be out in droves there, so it'll be fun.
All right, there you go. That is the great Brian Campbell, Blackhawks Convention. Who wants to go for free? Raise your hand.
I do.
You guys? You can't. You got to pay. Yeah. But the listeners get freebies. What caller would you like, Justin?
Let's see. Let's just go. You know what? I was unprepared for this, so I'm thinking in my head. I'm like, 5+2 is... The seventh caller would be great.
Good call. Family pack of four, 11th annual Blackhawks Convention this weekend at the Hilton Chicago, courtesy of Mathnasium, changing lives through math. Get yours right now. Call number 7312-981-7200. Steve?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
Just ahead of Coach Pat Fitzgerald, we have today on the most valuable person on the planet, a tie to Northwestern. You send your kid to Northwestern, you think, well, they're not playing football, they're not playing basketball, what are they doing? Here's what they're doing. They're building futuristic rockets.
That's right.
That are going to change the universe. So today's most valuable person on the planet is actually a team of Northwestern University scientists in New Mexico preparing for this weekend's launch of something called the Micro X Rocket. It's been a 10-year-long project, first of its kind, funded by NASA. Dave, you know this because you're a Northwestern grad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a high-resolution microcalorimeter. What is it, Dave? It's a calorimeter.
Calorimeter.
X-ray imaging rocket.
Right.
Launches on Sunday. Going to be used to capture unprecedented images of various astronomical objects, or as I like to call it, space stuff.
Very cool. Very important.
The Northwestern Astronomical Micro X Rocket Team, the most valuable persons on the planet today.
There you go.
Coming in a close second, Coach Pat Fitzgerald. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
I can't say I had anything to do with the rocket, but that's pretty neat.
You know, rockets are being built right down the street from you.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You can make a nice transition to, the Northwestern offense is going to be rocket fueled this year.
Well, there we go. Yeah, that was pretty spectacular right there. We hope so. But how about this view, man?
Beautiful. Not bad, huh?
Wow.
Not bad. You thought you had a nice facility. Look what we went and did.
Unbelievable. Absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, congratulations. By the way, speaking of congratulations, and I know he's got an injury situation to take care of, but Clayton Thorson all over the country, top 20 ranked quarterback. You got yourself a kid that grew in the program to now being one of the best in the country.
Yeah, the all-time winningest quarterback in our program's history. He's going to probably set every record known to quarterback history within our program. He's a spectacular young man. Had a busy summer. Got married. Obviously diligently and relentlessly working to rehab, and he's doing a great job.
And Dave, jump in.
Well,
by the way, have you met Coach?
Yeah, we have met.
Yeah, you have? Okay.
As a matter of fact, about 25 years ago, I think.
Okay.
So you've got Big Ten Media Day starting today, and you're always kind enough to join us the morning of. You'll meet the media over the Marriott later on, and the first question you're going to get, and the repeated question you're going to get is, what about Clayton's status for the start of the season? What do you know?
I would tell him to ask Clayton. He's got all the answers. But, again, relentlessly just doing everything he possibly can with what's in his control to get ready to play. His goal is to play in the opener. But there's some things that are out of his control, too. And, you know, our medical team will be the ones that make that final decision. But to watch the work that he's put in has just been spectacular this summer. And, you know, look forward to a week from Wednesday when we get back out there and start throwing the ball. And he'll be on a pitch count early. And, you know, everything will be, you know, really almost scripted for him on how we're going to go about the start of training camp. And then we'll go from there.
Justin Kaufman here was talking off the air about how much we would love to have a huge, unrelenting national story about the great football power that is Northwestern this season. So if you wouldn't mind winning them all, that'd be swell.
Well, the question I had is, this is, you know, obviously we have the tag on the sports about all the games that are going to be up in Evanston this season, but those are some serious games, whether it be Notre Dame, Wisconsin, Michigan, of course. But it is a national, almost a national title type schedule. If you clear the deck, you're going to be a Big Ten team that could be standing at the end of the
season. In the hunt, baby.
Do you think about that when these schedules come out and you see the kind of level of play that if you run the table, this could be the year for Northwestern?
You know, it's funny. When you look at the schedule, I usually figure out what it is like January 3rd. Because we did these probably 5, 6, 7 years ago, myself and Jim Phillips, and I don't recall who's coming when. And you're so focused at the task at hand. And now for us, you know, yeah, the opportunity in front of us, as you look at the macro, the big picture, the schedule is awesome. But then you wake up, and reality is we start training camp a week from Wednesday. And then at the end of camp, we've got a Big Ten opener on the road playing Purdue, who obviously had an outstanding season last year, and Jeff Brohm does a great job. So, you know, reality kind of smacks you in the face real quick. And, you know, we haven't started the way we wanted to the last couple of years. So we've got to get that thing, you know, I think going in the right direction right away. And then, you know, 2-game homestand to follow that.
Everybody's focused on the November 3rd Notre Dame game because it's going to be such a headline event. You've done a nice job over the years in keeping your kids focused. Do you have to restate that message every camp?
Yeah, you know, every team's different. Every year is a new DNA, a new personality. You know, this team, as far as what I've seen from summer workouts, is very focused. You know, a lot of guys coming back. You know, we've got, 14, 15 guys coming back that have started football games. Some, you know, multi-year starters like Clayton, like Nate Hall, like Montre Hardage are going to be with me at the kickoff luncheon here and the media days the next 2 days. So, you know, you've got that type of experience, that type of wisdom, and, you know, their leadership so far has been outstanding. But the barbell doesn't hit back. You know, so we'll see how things and how they unfold when we get going.
I believe, Dave, we'll have every minute of Northwestern football this fall, won't we?
Yes, we will. We will.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be employed, which is...
Yeah, that's a good point. The schedule, every year, and I've read some of the accounts already, well, Northwestern is playing a much more difficult schedule this year than they played last year. But I remember sitting with you in a studio on a Monday morning before Big Ten Media Day last year, looking at the schedule. Wow, you got to play Wisconsin and Penn State early in the Big Ten. Everybody's talking about the schedule. I'm trying to remember the last time you went into the season and looked at the schedule. Wow, that's a really easy schedule. We should have no problem. I mean, it's this way every year.
It's this way every year. But that's, you know, especially nationally, that's typically what happens when all of a sudden our name pops up in the top five most competitive schedules. Last year, I think we were going into the year in the top 20, and then it ended up being somewhere in the 30s when you look at the one-loss record. And, you know, we've won 8 straight games. It's the longest streak in FBS football. And you know, our win total of 27 over the last 3 years is the best in program history. So we've got a lot of momentum. You know, you start talking about the Walter Athletic Center and Ryan Fieldhouse, things are going in such a positive direction. Now we've just got to go to work, and you know, you can't focus on November. You can't focus on some of those games. You've got to pay attention to what it takes. It's a process to get the team ready. We're kind of going in that last phase of preparation, and then we you know, we get into playing ball, and I'll know a lot more about our DNA, you know, once we kind of get the ball into workouts and see how it goes.
It's going to be a great Northwestern football season. Stick around more with Coach Fitz in a second before he runs off to his 900 other commitments this morning. We'll come back with your headlines next on 720 WGN.
This is the time of year where Dave Ennick gets that little grin, kind of unexplainable, a glazed over look in his eyes. He can't wait to crawl into the Dave Ennick booth and call more Northwestern football.
How many days is it now? I mean, it's like
you don't
weeks.
Know. You've got a Dave Ennick. He's got an feeling. Advent calendar that he counts it down on. Yeah.
My wife does.
Yeah, so it's exciting times. And we are thrilled again to be partners with Northwestern for football and basketball. And the football season starts soon with that schedule you mentioned. By the way, Coach, how many purple ties do you own?
I have quite a bit. Actually, that's a good question. This is Lloyd Yates, Tillman. He started a company with a couple partners. He's kind of an entrepreneur. This is a
it's a great looking tie.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate Lloyd hooking me up.
Yeah.
So yeah, usually it's Stacy picking out the ties. So yeah, I can't say that I go shopping very often.
I'm just thinking family and friends, and when they try to buy you something, do they always go purple?
Yeah, I don't think I own anything but a purple tie. Yeah, it's pretty pathetic.
Dave, what are you most looking forward to about this new season?
Well, I think this defense has gotten better every year. And if you go back to last year, you allowed 20.1 points a game. That was top 20 in the nation in scoring defense. That's a number that every year that number's gotten better. Do you think in some respects that your defense sort of gets overlooked a little bit? Everybody talks about the offense and the ability to be explosive at times with Clayton and Justin Jackson last year. But this defense, you've had the sack leader in the Big Ten each of the last 2 years, two different guys. You had the best freshman linebacker in the country last year, and you got most of them coming back.
We do. Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, I think we're the best rushing defense that we've had in program history a year ago, and that correlates to being able to keep those points down. You know, if you can make a team one-dimensional. And still in the Big Ten West, you got to stop the run. I mean, that's the bottom line. I think as long as I'm going to be probably in my coaching tenure, we're going to have to be able to do that to win. And you know, Mike Hankwitz, our defensive coordinator, has done a terrific job. And you know, our guys buy into what we do and how we do things. And very fundamentally sound, play very hard, defense collectively. And, you know, hopefully we'll take another step. We've got quite a bit of guys coming back on that side. We have competition at some positions that we need to improve in. And one of the areas in particular we've got to be better is we've got to give up less explosive pass play. So going to be a lot of competition in camp. Looking forward to it.
The Big Ten Media Day is today. The Big Ten, of course, one of the preeminent, if not the preeminent, conference in college football, but we saw last year two SEC teams play for the national championship. We see the ACC is getting bigger and bigger as Clemson and other teams are coming out of it. Where do you think the Big Ten is when it comes to competition level to some of these conferences in the South?
Well, handle what you can control. That's obviously winning your football games. And, you know, you look back a year ago and Wisconsin, you know, beats Ohio State, they're in the playoff. You know, if Ohio State beats Iowa and then ends up winning the Big Ten championship, sure, they're in the playoffs. So, you know, you've got to put yourself to get to November in position to be a part of the conversation. And then you got to win football games. You know, a couple of years ago, Ohio State kind of, people said backdoored in, goes on to win the national championship. People say Alabama backdoored in this year, or last year, I should say, goes on to win the national championship. So I think we're closer to having the national champion in football decided on the field.
Right.
That'd be nice.
You could say two of however many years of the playoff system now that it's pretty much been decided more so the entry point, yep, by the committee.
Yep.
But both those teams won the championship. So they got it right. You can argue that, you know, woe is us in the Big Ten. Win our games. You know, we're a couple wins away ourselves, you know, and that, to be a part of the conversation. And that's where I like it compared to maybe 15 years ago where it was a beauty contest. And if you weren't a perennial whatever name, you probably weren't getting in the conversation.
It's also, I would say, that you're seeing more and more the Big Ten is making an effort to play some of those SEC teams early in the season. So you're seeing these preeminent matchups where you have an Alabama and Michigan or what it might be.
Right.
Is that on purpose for recruiting? What's the reason for you to put your schedules on the line to play these big games early in the season?
Well, strength of schedule was something that was articulated to us from the conference that was going to be critically important to being able to get into the playoff conversation. So again, you kind of rewind back typically 3, 5, 7 years when you started these, you know, scheduling conversations with other teams. That's when we were really talking about the playoff push. So it makes a lot of sense. We're going to always play another Power 5 team. You know, for us, you know, this year we have multiple.
Notre Dame, yeah.
Yeah, and Duke. You know, so yeah, you've got two where most teams only play one. We're fortunate to have both at home this year. You know, so it's going to be a challenging schedule, but what a great opportunity, as we talked about earlier.
It's going to be fun. Going to be fun all season. Again, you're going to hear it all here, all year long. That's Coach Pat Fitzgerald. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for this team. And in this new facility you have, this beautiful facility, which Dave Innitt paid for, what's the coolest bell or whistle that you enjoy?
I don't know yet. You know, we've been
probably
in there
haven't seen it all.
No,
right?
No, we've been in there 5 weeks, and the card readers are starting to work, and you know all the micro stuff you know that we're the kids couldn't get in the building. We're starting to work through all those you would call them, I guess, bugs. They're more growing pains.
Sure,
I just love the connectivity to campus. You know, with our guys being able to walk 30 seconds out of the dorms and be in the building, you know, their quality of life has just completely changed, and that's only been through summer workouts. So looking forward to the fall and. You know, seeing really how it improves. But the integration of campus is going to be sweet.
That's the thing Northwestern fans know, but the rest of the country may not. It's harder when you put on a program at a school that where academics truly matter. Duke's the same story. Duke, you got to go show up at class the same way.
Yeah.
And I gave Clayton Thorson credit. Before we run out of time, let me give you credit as well. Even though I know you don't like talking about yourself, let me do it for you. Top 20 coaches polls around the country. You keep popping up in those. So congratulations.
Well, I outkicked my coverage. It's because of Stacy. So thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely.
last word, Dick.
With the new facility, you have the Ryan Fieldhouse, and you also have the Walter Athletic Center, which is a separate facility. I mean, they're connected,
right?
But maybe for people who aren't familiar, they might have seen the Fieldhouse when you practice in there. But what's the difference?
So Jim Phillips was relentless in going out and you know, our great director of athletics and really researching. So a combination of he and myself saw about 64, 65 different facilities and the connectivity. You know, how can we best have the flow of the day for the players and then have the connectivity to us as coaches, to their academic support, to nutrition, to the weight room, just to make our day more efficient, to give our fans a kind of an indication of how this whole thing was going to work out. Our first summer workout, we were done in the weight room 20 minutes early. So how do we take that 20 minutes and be, you know, do we coach them more? Do we get, you know, better nutrition? Do we get more time academically?
Sure.
You know, whatever it may be, you know, that's just one indication of how this is going to make a big difference. And then, you know, it's a minute bike ride for our guys to get to class. So the big picture, you know, this really changes the game for our guys on a daily basis.
Going to be fun. Dave starts when?
August 30th, a Thursday night, which will be the game that night that everyone's going to be watching.
Yeah, it's
right?
Going to be a lot of fun.
At Purdue, which Purdue went to a bowl game last year for the first time in a long time.
Well, let's slap them around early then, shall we?
Let's just find a way to win.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Find a way to win? Okay, that's fine, too. Yeah. Coach, great seeing you.
Always great to be here.
Fun.
Love the new digs. Thanks, man.
Thanks,
go Cats.
We'll talk to you during the year every week. And we'll come back in a moment. Steve, what do you got today?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
756, optics problem. Optics are important in politics.
No.
Yeah, they really are.
They are?
And Governor Rauner appeared at a church with Willie Wilson, who's running for mayor. And after church, Willie Wilson was handing out cash to all the parishioners. Now, find that sentence he read to me earlier, Justin.
Okay.
That sentence about how much money was given away?
Yes, it was $300,000 in cash. This was according to Shia Kappos, who does the political email every day.
But are we to believe that was all yesterday?
A source familiar with the foundation said Rauner paid $100,000 of the $300,000 in cash that was handed out to attendees at a Southside church. Now, Rauner's office says that it was given to Wilson's nonprofit, and he was not aware that the cash would have been distributed on the Sunday for the Sunday event.
But wasn't Rauner there when the money was being handed out? Were they standing next to each other?
I haven't seen that. There's video of Wilson handing out the cash. I'm not sure if Rauner's
Were they standing next to each other?
He was in the proximity, in the vicinity. I don't think he was.
Well, he's got to have people that are smart enough to say,
you see cash anywhere.
We got to go away. Event,
you're like, get in the car. No cash. Get in the car.
Now, here's the math I don't understand. At $100 per parishioner, $300,000. Check my math on this. That's 3,000 people. How big is that church?
It's probably a big church, but I'm not sure what the numbers are. But yeah, you're absolutely right. So and now Willie Wilson, prominent businessman on the South Side, has a long standing history of philanthropy. He gives away a ton of money.
He deserves credit for it.
His office says they've done this 6 times this year. This was not a political event for him. This is what he does. That's how they said it.
Both of them, Rauner.
Why was Rauner there? Willie. Right.
Rauner is there, and Willie. They both understand that if you're giving away cash to people and you're both running for major offices, it looks like you're buying votes.
The optics are terrible.
Yeah, it looks like.
And the governor is trying to separate himself, but I don't know how he does. The office is going to act like we didn't know. We were there for a different reason. But
money? What money?
Ridiculous.
The only thing that made the story better, Steve, is if he was handing out Pritzker's money.
And it's Rauner's money. A third of the money is Rauner's money. Now, he may say, I didn't know it was going to be used that way. But why is Rauner giving $100,000 to Willie Wilson then?
I'm just disappointed I didn't go to church yesterday morning.
Sounds like quite a sermon.
I don't know. I wonder, and Steve, you may know this, Steve Rezanich, if there are rules, there are laws that say you can't do that. Yeah. So this may be, you know, for us to bounce around as a society, whether this is right or wrong, but I would think that there's also an opportunity that officials will be looking into this.
Texter makes a good point. Doesn't Willie Wilson know he's supposed to be kicking it up to Madigan?
Well, for as many people who want to get, I mean, especially for Rauner to attack Madigan ad after ad after ad after ad about the Chicago way, there's nothing more Chicago way than handing out cash after church.
Right, right.
So I don't understand how again, if I were Pritzker, I'd be like Eric Edelstein was telling us, it'll take a second for them to put an ad together on this.
I got to tell you, since last summer when there was shakeups on Rauner's staff, he has had some people around him that, to be kind, have not served him well.
I don't know how
you're in this circumstance, and I don't know how you're not removed from the circumstance once Willie whips out his wallet.
The video, you have to go see the video. It's online. He has a stack of cash in his hand. In his left hand, it looks like it's straight out of a rap video. He's got a stack of bills.
Willie Wilson making it rain with the governor.
It's pretty impressive.
More on all of this with the news in a moment, and we'll come back with that. And Dean is off today. Kelty Knight, our friend Kelty Knight from ET, will join us in a few minutes as well. We got a bunch of stuff to get to. Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It's good to be king, if just for a while, to be there in velvet. Yeah, to give them a smile.
The lovely and talented Lauren Zima, our friend, joins us. Lauren Zima, good morning to you.
Good morning. Well, Virginia, you're making me miss it. Oh, have you guys been?
You know, that line clipped. Have we been where?
Oh, to Ravinia. I've been hearing you guys talk about it this morning. Have you been this year? I missed it. I got
to
go.
Yeah, you do have to go. You do have to go. You have to pick a show and you have to come in and go. Great lineup as always, but it's nothing. You ever have a date at Ravinia? Because I believe it's, you can't have a bad date at Ravinia. The bad date has to go in the car after.
I remember seeing Frank Sinatra Jr. there when I was little, actually. That's like my favorite Ravinia memory. You can't get a bad show there. It's just always a good experience.
It's tremendous. Absolutely. We got a bunch of show business news to ask you about, including a nice story. Taylor Swift is now baking cakes for friends.
Taylor Swift, you know, she does this thing where on social media she really shows us her, hey, I'm a totally normal person, millionaire A-list superstar. She baked a cake, seemingly herself, not sure if I'm 100% on that, but seemingly for herself or her best friend, Selena Gomez, a 26th birthday cake, put it up on Instagram. And this cake, it looks good. It's a pink cake celebrating Gomez. It says, Gomez, a go home in frosting. And she captions the photo, will I let distance stop me from celebrating my best friend's birthday? I mean, I could, but why would I want to? And that, of course, is one of her own song lyrics.
You know,
see what you did there.
Yeah, it's nice. But my question is, if you are in Taylor Swift's world, management-wise, why would you let her near open flame ever? You know, anything related to heat, baking, injuries, she's too valuable.
Yeah.
Taylor, step away from the stove.
That's what I'm talking about. It's Lauren Zima from Entertainment Tonight. This Prince George 5-year-old birthday picture couldn't be better. Man, what a cute little kid.
What a cute little kid. And I think the reaction is kind of, whoa, he's 5 already?
Right.
You know, it's sort of nuts. He's so sweet, so cute. The palace sharing a photo. And what they do a lot, which I like, is they really try to, just like Taylor's doing with that cake, keep the royals normal when they share these photos. It's often a picture that mom, Kate Middleton, the Duchess, has just snapped herself. So this is taken right after George's younger brother had his christening on July 9th. In this case, there were some official photos taken for his 5th birthday, so the family always has a photographer on hand for the big moments. But he's just got this big smile on his face. It is so sweet. And apparently Prince William is next up going to be teaching George soccer. He's going to start learning soccer now that he's getting bigger.
What do you say football?
Like little kickers.
What do you suppose you get when you go to Prince George's birthday party? You get like a bag of jewels for the goodie bag when you leave? What do you
get? Like a crown jewel for you, a crown jewel for you. We took them out of the display. Everybody gets one in their goodie bag. George is so funny because I'm sure you guys have seen, he's just notoriously sassy, right? So I think if you go to his party, you're just in his presence. And he always is causing a little mischief and mayhem with his cousins. The royal family is really all about being relatable these days because, quite frankly, when I was at the royal wedding, a lot of people were saying, look, the royal family knows they're real people and that they need to be relatable and that they are the tourism of England. So, George, that little photo, it's bringing people in to see those crown jewels. If only we could each get one.
Speaking of the crown jewels, Beyonce and Jay-Z on a yacht in Italy. This wasn't a blow-up raft, I suppose, huh?
I know. I mean,
it's a big ass boat is what I'm talking about here.
A big casual yacht off of Italy's Amalfi Coast. You know, what are you doing for your summer vacation? I'm sure you took your family out of the yacht like that.
I did. And then they said, you can't take that boat. It doesn't belong to you.
Right. Yeah, you better return it right now before you're arrested in a foreign country.
Right.
They are rocking. What I love about these pictures, and you guys can head to easyonline.com to see them, is that when I'm out on my vacation, I mean, I barely have makeup on. I haven't brushed or maybe even washed my hair. Beyonce is probably like head to toe in Versace. She looks like she's ready to shoot a music video. Jay, a little more casual. But, you know, the thing is, they're off the Amalfi Coast of Italy, but this is after they were also very recently near France hanging out with, who would you think? Bono. This is how they see vacations. So.
Sure. Just like the rest of us.
I have to say, I'm a big fan of Jay-Z's new look. He's got kind of a dressed down casual summer look, very Hamptons, you know, bow ties and linens.
Hey, if you like it, put a ring on it.
Yeah, I think he looks good.
You want to talk awkward? Johnny Depp and Amber Heard are going to be on the same Comic-Con panel?
Yeah, so Comic-Con wrapped up this weekend, and this went down, and it was pretty controversial because Johnny Depp is there for the new Fantastic Beasts movies in that Harry Potter franchise world, Fantastic Beasts, Crimes of Grindelwald. Crimes is making it awkward as well, being in the movie title. So he plays Grindelwald, this evil wizard, and the 55-year-old comes to the panel at one of the huge halls in San Diego at the Comic-Con celebration at the big convention center, and he comes dressed as the wizard. He gives a speech as the wizard in character. His castmates are all on stage, and fans are into this, but what is very, as you said, awkward is that his ex-wife, Amber Heard, is also there because she's in the new movie Aquaman, and she came on not too long after him in the same area to do a panel for her movie, and of course, those two had a very contentious breakup, and there were allegations of domestic violence, and he gave her a settlement, and so it was just, it wasn't the elephant in the room, it was the Depp in the room, and he's, man, coming off a lot of weirdness lately on his own. That interview he did, it's very, very,
what do you hear about him? Is he sick? What's going on with him?
You know, some people had questioned if he was ill. We actually reached out to his rep about that. But, you know, his team is saying he's fine because he looks in photos as though he lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, total emaciation.
Yeah, he looked, I think, healthy at the panel. Again, he was dressed as Grindelwald, and sometimes you never know, maybe he's losing weight to do a role, that kind of thing. But I think that he maybe thought that interview he did would clear the air, but instead it just added to some confusion. Yeah.
You know, the Comic-Con just wrapped up in San Diego, and this year, obviously, big news with Aquaman, and of course, as you just mentioned, just the celebrities in attendance. Do you think that changes the Comic-Con in the way? Because, you know, a lot of times it used to be, it represented sort of nerd culture, this idea that you would have superhero movies and things like that, but Hollywood has just really just kind of dwarfed the San Diego Comic-Con to where it's every single huge actor that is in any movie that's in proximity of the next 6 to 8 months is on stage at that festival.
100%. I was literally just having this conversation last night, so you have hit the nail on the head. I went to Comic-Con, and it is what it is, but it's become a different beast, you know? We've got our EP suite there at the Hard Rock Hotel, and kind of all the big outlets have a suite where the celebrities are brought in for interviews, and you see Ryan Reynolds coming in for the Deadpool 2 DVD release, you know? That's where we're at. And, yes, of course,
the quote-unquote nerd culture is still very much about the superhero movies, and so you've got these big stars in superhero movies now, like Ryan Reynolds and Jason Momoa and Amber Heard, and Nicole Kidman is in Aquaman. So I get why they're there for the superhero movies for sure, but it has become a different beast in that, you know, tons of new CW shows and all that. It's like the launching pad for everything now. So some people have actually been talking about how Las Vegas has a Comic-Con of its own that's coming up a little bit. San Diego Comic-Con is so cool. It was so much fun, and you can head to etonline.com and watch tonight on ET, because we did amazing interviews with just the coolest people, from Sterling K. Brown to John Cena. But it's definitely a different beast. It's not that little nerdy convention it used to be.
It just seems like a Hollywood event now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, people say that about, you know, South by Southwest. You get sponsorships. You get big celebrities. It definitely grows and changes. So, love it for what it is.
All right, before you go, everybody wants to talk about The Bachelor on a Monday and a Tuesday. Is this the proposal show still on? Because I'm thinking about stopping television if this continues.
It's The Bachelorette, Steve.
The Bachelorette, sorry. I know I've embarrassed you in front of Lauren Zima.
The Bachelorette is still on. The proposal is still airing, but Bachelorette is winding down. We are down to our last few guys here. I actually do all of our Bachelorette coverage. You know, tell me what you think of it, Steve. I always love to hear your
reaction. The Bachelor or the Bachelorette? I have a very hardcore view of both aspects of the show, and I don't see any realistic scenario where a woman will compete with a bunch of other women for the attention of one guy. Now, a bunch of guys in a room, they do it all day long. But I just don't buy it on the flip side. I don't buy 30 women in a room trying to get one guy's attention without somebody getting hurt.
Well, I guess much like we must accept Comic-Con for what it is, I am at a place, I've reached a place for myself where I accept The Bachelor and The Bachelorette for what they are. We have to abandon the idea that this is a normal and even reliable way to date a person. The success rate of the show is down in the dumps. I mean, I think they've got 1 to 5 couples, and really only one bachelor couple who have actually gotten married out of this whole franchise. When I talk to people, they talk about how it's the bachelor bubble. You're meeting someone, you're meeting them in a super weird, unique way, and you hope that it works. For some people, it does. For most, it doesn't. But at the end of the day, it's reality.
It's entertainment.
Yeah.
Let it go, Steve. It's entertainment. But this this proposal thing, this express line proposal thing, it's got to be stopped. It's got to be stopped. I want it off the air, and Lauren, you have the power to do it.
I'm on it. I'm giving them a call. I'm sending them a tweet, a DM. You got it, because I have to say, Steve, I'm with you on that. I have not been into this show, The Proposal, and I'm hoping it doesn't come back, honestly, because you know what? There's also so many Bachelor franchise shows. Yep. I love them. I don't want to get burnt out on them. It's getting to be a big, big world.
You're going to have to combine them all. Flip this Bachelor. Say yes to The Bachelorette.
Flip this Bachelor.
You know? Yeah, I watch it, and I don't know why I still watch it. This Bachelorette, she's just kind of boring. There's really not that, I don't know. It's just, I'm kind of done. I say that every time, though.
Yeah, you'll be watching it tonight.
I know.
Right. Lauren, you're the best. Thank you.
You guys are the best. I'm so glad to be starting my week off with you, and I hope you can power through The Bachelorette tonight. Just watch it for three straight hours.
All right, we'll throw a blanket out at Ravinia for you. That's Lauren Zima from Entertainment Tonight. And Mary, you'll be covering The Bachelorette for us tonight.
I'll let you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I can make it.
What's going on with Julian Assange? He may need a new flatmate. Stand by for that. First at 8:26, what's happening in the news?
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I was thinking about Julian Assange. How do you get a guy out of your house after he's hung around for 6 years?
It just totally feels like, I'm good for a guy. Man, let's just have fun like we used to.
Right?
You have him arrested, right?
Yeah, because if you got somebody that's willing to go to him, you talk to him. Go to him and go, you got to go.
Yeah, you got to go. My wife says you got to go.
What are you talking about? We're buddies from college.
Right.
Didn't they cut off his internet a couple of months ago?
They cut off his internet. They cut his cable.
Yeah. He didn't even notice.
Hey, we're trying to give you a hint here. Right? Yeah.
Subtle hint. Julian, get out. Just get out. big sports time of year, as you know. Big sports, busy sports weekend. We had Coach Fitz on earlier. You can hear that podcast as Northwestern football gets cranked up. Media day today. Are you part of those festivities, Dave?
Part of them? No. I'm going to go over there as a member of the media.
Right.
But I'm not. I have no.
I would say the member of the media.
No. I have no formal role there.
And, of course, as you go forward now, we've got White Sox trivia on Monday.
Yeah.
And if you answer a White Sox trivia question, you're going to win tickets. We have four for the Cubs. We have four for the Cubs, but you'll have to buy those. We have four for the White Sox in Toronto.
Yeah, that's coming up. I'm going on Friday.
Sunday. This is Sunday, July 29th at 1:10. You have a question?
Yeah, I do. Finally, I get to do Joe's out, so I get to do the question.
Well, don't we do the big build-up?
No build-up.
No build-up.
Joe's not here.
By the way, Joe's out. We don't let just anybody fill in on this show. Curtis, turn your microphone on. What do we know about Curtis? Do we know we can trust him?
Yeah, we can trust him.
You can trust me, I think.
I don't think that's true, Curtis. We don't really know. What sort of screening process did you go through to fill in on the show?
I guess Stephanie just knew that I would be up at 3 in the morning and said...
She couldn't find anyone else to get up at that hour?
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's legitimate.
Okay. Now, who brought Joe Romano in here?
You
that
did.
Was me.
Yeah.
Now, Curtis, who brought you into WGN?
Also Dave Ennett.
Okay.
So there you go. All right.
Why is it no one wants to continue to work for you?
That's a good point.
Curtis, are you a sports guy?
I am a sports guy.
He is.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, I'm doing it right now. I'm doing broadcasting.
Okay.
So
your dream was to produce this show, the Steve Cochran Show.
Yes, and I'm living the dream right now.
You got to set your goals higher.
I met Curtis at Columbia College a couple months ago, before you came over here.
Were you a guest speaker?
I was. Yeah, I was telling kids. You're giving the kids. Here's what you need to know about
how did
radio.
He do? How did Uncle Justin do?
I don't know if he was in the room.
I wasn't there.
Was there a buzz in the hallway about Uncle Justin?
There was a buzz amongst the faculty that Justin had returned.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not so for the most positive part. But.
Oh, really? So when they filled out the comment cards, it didn't go well?
Did he tell you all to stay out of broadcasting?
I did. I did just like when I remember when I was
That's
in class. It was I think it was Phil Rogers from Channel 5. He was he was a teacher at the point.
I had John Drummond. Dave, you had Edward R. Murrow, didn't you?
His Rogers couldn't have done more to dissuade people from getting in the business. He was a teacher, and he'd be like, "This business is not for you." And you're like, all right, okay, thanks. So what am I spending money on here?
Get out. Well, Curtis, we're glad you're here. And if Joe ever comes back from the wedding, he'll be back. Otherwise, you may continue to be here tomorrow.
I'll be here.
All right, what caller do you want to take for the answer to this?
Well, let's do caller 7.
Okay.
And here's the question. What 7-time All-Star pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays, ended up on the 1993 White Sox? He pitched 4 games for the White Sox.
I got it.
And he went 1-3. Which player, which pitcher, 7-time All-Star for the Blue Jays, ended up on the 93 White Sox, that team that went?
Can I guess? Is it Honus Wagner?
It's not Honus Wagner. Close.
Is it Cy Young?
It's a great, and I'll give another, the hint I'll give is
it Cy Young's Canadian cousin?
One of the best 80s baseball names of all time. So it's a good one. So what 7-time All-Star pitcher from the Toronto Blue Jays started 4 games for the 93 Sox?
Lefty Gomez.
Not Lefty Gomez.
No.
312-981-7200. If you got it, you get the tickets for the White Sox.
All right. Let's get you caught up on what's coming up at 9 o'clock. Steve.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
If we think another country is trying to infiltrate ours by trying to recruit a spy or trying to take one of our people and flip them, you got to get a FISA warrant. And a FISA warrant means you go to a court, you have to sway 3 judges to approve your FISA warrant. It's a whole thing. Carter Page appeared with Jake Tapper from CNN and said he didn't know nothing about no Russians.
Yeah, I don't
Turns out, whoop, hold that thought. Turns out he did. And the president claimed the FISA warrant was all part of the witch hunt, which he previously said, you may remember this, President Trump last week said, wasn't a witch hunt. He does believe, well, there's 2 things. He does believe that Russia messed with the campaign. He's still on the witch hunt train with Bob Mueller about him. But the Carter Page thing, I'm not even sure the president understands the whole FISA warrant piece. Marco Rubio, who's been quite supportive of the president, he was on Sunday morning television talking about this, and he said, it's not a deal.
Yeah, I don't think they did anything wrong. I think they went to the court. They got the judges to approve it. They laid out all the information, and there was a lot of reasons unrelated to the dossier for why they wanted to look at Carter Page. And Carter Page was not a key member of the Trump campaign, and the Trump campaign has said that.
The problem with that is, in a normal world, that would sway the president.
Marco.
In a normal world, something like that would tamp down the nonsense. I expect more tweets today and something about lying Marco,
little Marco,
thirsty Marco, all coming up. Now, in a non-related story, Donald Trump staffers complained to Fox News over the weekend, and programming you probably missed, about being exiled from the D.C. dating scene. If you're a Donald Trump staffer, you can't get a date. And the quote is, we all now date one another. It's safer that way.
Oh, give me a break. I love that that's it. I can't find a date. It must be my politics. It must be. Otherwise, my mom says I'm a catch.
A female staffer said Republicans now, quote, stick to our own. That sounds awful on a lot of levels. Basically, we all now date one another. It's safer that way. I don't think coming to the heart of the nation's capital would be like this, but it's a reality these days. I can't imagine why.
Get oh, I'm so, whoa, little violins playing for the staffers who can't get a date.
Guys say to girls, are you one of those Trumpies? It's ridiculous. How did posing with the American flag turn me into a country-hating loser? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you how shallow men are. If you're an attractive female,
They're not caring.
Guy doesn't care who you're backing. Right. Now, the flip side of that's a different story. Doesn't help in the long run, but it does get me out of a lengthy lecture about how I'm ruining the country. I suppose the social scene in Washington is different, but I got to go with Justin on this. If you're not getting a date, it's you.
Well, to act as if this was the first time in political history in Washington, D.C., that there is one party that doesn't like the other, I find that ridiculous that you're going to blame your dating woes on your politics. Now, it's probably a part of it. I would think that people are already dug in the sand saying they don't necessarily think they're going to have something in common, but that's normal. That's the world we live in. There's some Democrats that won't like conservatives and some liberals that won't like, or conservatives won't like liberals. It's all the way down.
So, and one more, Senator Rand Paul. You might remember Rand Paul. He's a guy that was just mowing his lawn and he got tackled. Mm-hmm. He's also the only guy of significance that backed President Trump after his Putin press conference.
Right.
He's got some explaining to do this morning, Lucy. Using funds from his political action committee, reinventing a new direction. That's his PAC. Rand Paul spent $11,000 at restaurants in Italy and Malta on a trip last year.
Okay.
He also spent $4,500 on limousine services in Rome and $2,000 on an upscale hotel in Athens. Paul sometimes breaks with his fellow Republican President Trump, but he did spend $1,600 at a restaurant at the Trump Hotel.
Well, why is he under scrutiny where the president is not? The president and his whole crew went out to when they went to Scotland and London. That the numbers were astronomical, 70,000, 80,000.
Those rules don't apply to Donald Trump. Those rules don't apply. But Rand Paul now trying to explain away the fact that he's taking a lot of political contributions and spending them on a damn good time.
What's worse, spending it on a damn good time or handing out cash at a church on a Sunday?
It's full circle. That's exactly where I was going with this. Willie Wilson standing outside a church. What church again was that?
I'll find it.
Okay. Yesterday at church service, Willie Wilson standing outside, making it rain with $100 bills. At least we assume they were hundreds, or he couldn't have given away that many. And some 3,000 people supposedly got up to $300,000 in cash, 100,000 of which came from Governor Rauner.
New Covenant Missionary Baptist Church in Southside Chicago.
We've got to see how big that church is. Yeah, I'm still fascinated by 3,000 people.
I'm just assuming parishioners walked out of there with cash in hand.
You gotta believe too, right? If somebody started getting $100 bills, how fast can you text your friends?
Yeah, right.
And suddenly, people that didn't go to church.
Yeah.
The governor's office this morning not saying much. What was their excuse?
They said that they did give $100,000 to Wilson's nonprofit, and that the governor was not aware that the cash would be distributed at Sunday's event. There was a quote that was made by the Rauner administration that essentially said that they were guests of the pastor there. And that's why they were there. They weren't associated with Willie Wilson, which, again, why are you giving him money? Secondarily, you were fine when you were standing there in proximity to what Willie Wilson was doing. The idea that they act as if they're scot-free and they didn't know this was happening.
Hands can't be clean.
A little bit of a head-scratcher, yeah.
And again, the governor and the mayor, the buck stops with you, but you got to have people around you that go, DEFCON 5, we got to get out of here. Willie's handing out money.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, they should have some sort of communication. Mayday, mayday. Money's being exchanged. Cash is being exchanged. I don't know. I don't get. I mean,
but it's not buying votes.
The optics are. And the texter mentioned last time, the last gubernatorial election 4 years ago, there was a lot of this with Cory Brooks, Reverend Cory Brooks, about Rauner and Cory Brooks being seen together, and this was essentially an attempt to buy, because he gave money to Cory Brooks, buy the black vote. But here we are in proximity to cash being handed out. I don't even know. It's not even vague. It's not even a shell game. It's not
laundering. It's not, well, I give this person, this person, that person, this person. No, this is cash in hand, handing it to parishioners going, I hope you can pay your bills, and don't forget to vote in November.
Should be kryptonite. You see cash like that, it should be kryptonite. You should run in the opposite direction.
I don't know what the governor was thinking, and I'm not sure. And I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They may not have been aware that Willie Wilson was going to whip out stacks of cash. I don't think that's something that you fact check before you go to an event. Now, are you going to be handing out hundreds? Great. We need to know if you're handing out hundreds. So I'll give the benefit of the doubt to the campaign, to the Rauner campaign, but it's just a bad look. It's just a bad look.
And it had to take a while to hand out $300,000. So as soon as you see it happening, run.
Watch the video on WGN TV of Willie Wilson holding what is a huge stack of cash in his right hand, and in the left handing, just skimming off the top of that wad of cash and giving it to prisoners. It's pretty outlandish.
And flying through stories, catching up here where I can. I'm going to run out of time here, but one more. Dave, do you know about LeBron James Jr.?
Yes.
Fine player.
Outstanding player, and apparently it is LeBron James Sr.'s goal to someday play with him on the same team.
He is a 13-year-old AAU player. Mm-hmm. On Friday, the internet was more interested in his teammate, Jazari Jackson. You know about Jazari?
Jazari Jackson.
Jazari's 13. He's 6'10".
Wow.
At 13 years old.
But he may never grow another inch.
I don't like your chances on that prediction.
Wow.
That's worth time on the internet today on a Monday, wasting time at work. Jazari Jackson, Jahzare. Check that out. By the way, he also plays football. He's 13 years old. He's in seventh grade, and he's 6'10".
Does 6'10 translate to the football field, Dave? Are there a lot of linemen that are seven-footers in football?
No.
Seems like that would not be the right height for football.
The leverage becomes a bit of a problem, I think. Now, guys, 6'7", a little taller than that.
And what's a white, like a Calvin Johnson, like Megatron? How tall was he?
Seemed like he was like 7'6" when he was playing against the Bears.
This kid, Jazari, and I have a little science in my background, is trending to be over 10 feet tall.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Dr. Cochran.
At 8:57, be advised, coming up is breaking news. The Blackhawks are about to hold a press conference. This is a cool announcement. And a press conference, they are going to announce that Chris Chelios has been named a Blackhawks ambassador, which means you're going to see Chelly at games. You're going to see him at events all over the place. Coming home to the Chicago Blackhawks, where he belongs, joining the likes of Dennis Savard and Bobby Hall and Tony Esposito and Brian Campbell.
We were just talking about this, that we were surprised Chelly was not part of that crew, but it's good to see that.
There you go, right?
He had been working for the Red Wings up until last week, and announced last week that he was leaving Detroit and he was moving back here.
It's a perfect marriage.
This all makes sense.
It does.
Chris Chelios, new Blackhawks ambassador. Press conference coming up where Chelly will have a few things to say, I'm sure. 9 o'clock news and CLTV joining us coming up on 720 WGN. Justin asked a Sox trivia question for this Sunday. 4 tickets for the Sox and the Blue Jays. Sunday at 1:10. What was the question again?
The question was, what 7-time All-Star pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays started 4 games for the 93 Chicago White Sox back in 1993, compiling a record of 1-3 and making no discernible difference to the squad?
Zero impact. Tim, who was it?
Dave Steve.
That's right.
Steve.
Tim, you get the tickets, but question, I said, that's a great 80s baseball name, and both Dave and Steve are like, nah, not really. So I'm like, what are you talking about? That's a great 80s baseball name.
Tim's obviously blown away by it as well.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how I got Willie Wilson's tickets.
Making it rain, Tim.
There you go. Thanks, Tim.
Man, hold on, Tim. Tim Sheeran's your big winner right there, Justin.
Dave Steeb is a great 80s baseball.
Yeah, the more you say it, it really starts to grow.
And he's got that that mustache.
Mike might have an 80s mustache.
He's an 80s baseball icon.
I thought, like you said, an 80s baseball name. Dave, didn't you think it was going to be like Dave Members Only like Steve or something?
Or
Dave Culture
Dave
Club
Disco
Steve?
Or something. Yeah.
You thought it'd be like a Biff Pocoroba?
I mean, because the first name I thought of was Dave Steve, and then you threw me off.
Maybe it's not the name necessarily, but it's a great 80s baseball player.
Dave Facts of Life Steve.
He's an awesome Dave Steve.
Dave Walter Mondale Steve. That says the 80s.
I'm going to go as Dave Steve for Halloween. Toronto Blue Jays Dave Steve with that pencil mustache and those cool Toronto Blue Jays jerseys.
The pastel blue.
Right. The ladies love a Dave Steeb look.
Yeah, they do.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
His mother told him someday you will be a man, and you will be the leader of a big old band. Many people coming from miles around to hear you play your music when the sun go down.
720 WGN, it is the Steve Cochran Show here. Justin Kaufman, Dave Ennett, Steve Rzanich, Mary Vandeville. And in studio here, this is exciting, Steve. This is a story we saw last week where Lake Michigan surfers were looking to reopen a lawsuit against U.S. Steel.
I'm sorry, Lake Michigan what?
We're going to get to that. Lake Michigan surfers are looking to reopen a lawsuit against U.S. Steel for the 2017 incident, two different incidents where they dumped chromium into the lake. You remember the story?
Yeah.
They did that. And they tried and were successful in delaying the announcement that they did so. They tried to make it confidential with the EPA, and there were, it was this kind of thing that we didn't learn about in the public for in some cases, weeks to months later. The Lake Michigan surfers usually will spend most of their time on the water in Northwest Indiana, in Whiting, where the waves are the best, and that's why.
So they were directly exposed.
They were directly exposed to chromium in the water and had no knowledge of it, and they are suing U.S. Steel. In studio today to talk about that and to talk about surfing. I think that's really what grabbed our attention. Are two of the guys behind this. Mitch McNeil is the chapter. He's the chair of Surf Riders Chicago chapter, which is an organization that is all about sustainable waterways. Mitch, thanks for being here.
Hello, thanks.
Let me get your mic on there. There you go.
And Pat Noyes. Pat Noyes is the filmmaker who did the documentary film South End, The Place Where I Go Surfing, and he's also an avid surfer in Lake Michigan. Pat, thanks for being here as well.
Thanks for having me.
So this story grabbed both of our attention. We said, we need to get you guys in to talk about this. Why don't we start right at the top? They're surfing on Lake Michigan?
Yeah.
And what kind of surfing are we talking about? For us in Chicago or anyone who's listening in different areas, you know, I don't think of big waves that are coming in crashing in the Chicago area. Where do you got to go to get the best waves in Lake Michigan?
Depends on which way the wind's blowing.
Okay. All right, so listen, that makes sense. But explain it to the num-nums here in the studio. Because we're waiting for the water to come down Lake Michigan. It pours into the bottom of the lake by Whiting.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that the water's pouring down. It's that the wind's blowing.
Okay.
And it gets the water moving.
How big a wave?
It depends on how hard the wind blows.
Well, give me an example, an average.
On average, you're looking at something that's probably about 5 feet tall.
Well, that's good, right?
That's great. Yeah.
I mean, isn't that comparable to some of the stuff off the coast of California as a regular wave?
Sure. Sure, it is. It is just regular surfing.
I didn't know this happened.
Yeah, it's a thing.
And there's 100 of you knuckleheads that do this?
At least.
And you're all avid, and you do it. This is the part, too. Justin told me this. You do this year-round?
Yeah. And actually, you know what? I really don't like... People love saying you knuckleheads, you idiots, and I...
Hold on. I didn't say idiots.
Yeah, but
there's
I mean,
a difference between knucklehead and idiot.
All right, I don't want to argue with semantics with you, but...
It's not an insult. It's you're doing something that's not the usual course of the day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Don't get so sensitive, surfy.
Excuse me.
All right, excuse so me. 100 of you, tell me how you surf in the winter. How do you surf in the winter?
Put on a wetsuit and go in the lake.
Are you one of these guys, too?
Yeah. Yeah, Mitch is a fringer. We were talking about this yesterday. He understands cold weather and cold water surfing, but I think there's a line that he's drawn in terms of temperature.
40 degrees.
Yeah.
40 degrees.
Yeah. And I'm one that will go right till it's 32.
32 degrees. Now, the area in which the documentary is about is called South End. This is in right by Whiting, Indiana. Talk about where this is in Northwest Indiana and what's so special about South End.
Well, the documentary is about more than just Whiting. It's about basically all of Indiana. I've got footage from Gary, Michigan City, Whiting, many different places. And what's special about it to me is that it's great waves, and it's also opened my eyes in a lot of ways to things. I grew up in Wilmette, a north suburb,
right?
And I enjoyed a really high quality of life growing up, and it got me thinking a lot about sort of like the way that I benefited from all of the industry down there that nobody really enjoys looking at or wants to talk about, or and it's, you know, it's really as bad as it is that they're polluting the lake. It's you know, we wouldn't have the life that we have if we didn't have all those.
Well, so it's a catch 22, right? It's a catch 22 because it gives you an opportunity to do what you love. It also provides jobs and things for those people in that area. But we have to talk about the fact that you guys were exposed to very dangerous levels of chemicals in the lake, yes?
I mean, I think it's an ongoing thing, right? And this is something that you should really ask Mitch about.
First of all, I want to pull us away from Whiting and point at Portage. This is where these incidents occurred, right next to U.S. Steel. So,
what was being dumped into the lake, as far as you know?
Hexavalent chromium.
And that's not something you want to rub on your skin, necessarily?
Carcinogenic.
Okay.
No, they stopped putting it in sunscreen a few years ago.
So. Yeah, probably a good call. So, what's the effect on the body? I mean, is it rash-like in the beginning?
No, it accumulates in your liver, I understand. Oh, it's not good.
That's not what you want.
Well, the contrast and the irony of this story, and that's what makes it so interesting, is that the best waves for you guys to be able to do what you do to surf the waves happen in the most industrial part of the lake. And in that case, you have tremendous industry there, some that's still active. And as the reader pointed out in other places, that a lot of the surfers are coming out with rashes on their skin. You guys both have had situations where, you know, surfing in that area, you've come home and been able to see the effects of that surf. But you don't stop doing it because it is particularly the area in which surfing can be done.
I would say that most of the time you surf there and it's okay. These incidents are rare, luckily. And we just have to be careful. Have to take a good shower when you're done surfing, and try not to swallow the water.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. Because is the lake able to handle processing this chromium, or does it create a danger for people that they're not aware of that aren't surfing?
That's a good question.
I think that probably what's going on is the EPA decided that there was a certain level of chromium that was safe to dump into the lake. You know, and safe in the sense that you could put it in there. They would probably dump it into the Burns waterway channel right there, and it would go out into the lake. And by the time it really sprawled out anywhere, it was
dispersal dissipated. Is the term.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you guys have heard this. Are people saying to you guys, "Well, there's only 100 of you. If you don't like it, don't surf there." Are you hearing that?
No.
Okay. Well, good. Because I think you ought to have a right to be out there without being endangered.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think there's another reason, one of the other reasons why that part of Lake Michigan is important to surfers is that the city of Chicago, especially if you're from Chicago, that's important as a surfer, because the city of Chicago does not have a very friendly relationship with surfers. And I think that the whole state of Illinois in general does a pretty poor job of managing its coastline. Like, if you go north of the city, in the neighborhoods where I grew up, you know, almost everybody's tried to draw their property line out into the water with some type of rock jetty or steel pier or whatever.
Fence.
Yeah, yeah. And it's... you know, that stuff is technically illegal, but who's going to stop them? You know, these are wealthy people that have lots of connections, and no one's standing there watching their backyard going, "Hey, you can't do that." And when people do that, we tend to culturally look at them and say, "Hey, quiet down, you jerk." You know, nobody wants that.
More coming up with you guys, but where can we see the documentary?
You can see the festival version. It's a half an hour long version on Vimeo.
It's Vimeo.
Yeah, and it's the Rust Belt Surf Vimeo page. I can't tell you the exact link, but
Google,
we'll tweet it out. And
South End, the place where I go surfing, is the name of the film.
Thank you.
More coming up in just a second. And are you guys open to other people joining you out there? I mean, do you teach people how to do this, or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, it's a... One of the things that's really cool about surfing is that it's a completely unofficial thing. You don't have to sign any documents or join a club. You just have to buy the gear, want to go, and go. If you show up at the beach and you're nice, people will help you. But it's not like people, you're guaranteed to show up at the beach and someone's going to say, "Hey, you know, let me push you into waves, or let me teach you a thing or two. You know, you got to sort of take your lumps. Yeah, and
I literally did not know this was going on, which is why I'm glad you guys are getting a chance to talk about
there it. There are waves today.
All right, well, let's go. What are we doing sitting here?
Let's go.
Yeah.
9:22, more in a moment on 720 WGN, Steve.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Talking Lake Michigan surfing right now. Pat Noyes and Mitch McNeil in studio. Mitch McNeil, the chair of the Surfrider Organization Chicago chapter. Pat Noyes, the a surfer and also the documentarian. South End, The Place Where I Go Surfing is the film. You can find it online. You guys, this, as you mentioned right before the break, this issue, we would talk about surfing and we can fund understanding what it is and how it's being done on Lake Michigan. But this is an issue that's much more of a concern to Chicagoans and to people who use the lake for other purposes than surfing. This affects drinking water. It also affects the level of pollution in the water. Talk about that. I mean, for you guys, do you see yourself almost as I don't want to say first. What do you call it? Like the canaries in the coal mine? The idea that you are seeing things on the lake that the rest of us aren't seeing.
Yeah. Well, the surfers are in the water year round, and when we're in the water, we're in there for hour, two, three, 4 hours. So we see things that no one else sees.
Was it chromium the central chemical in the Aaron Brockovich case?
You got it.
So, I mean, do you guys notice? Can you notice when the lake is having a bad day? When there's stuff in the water that
shouldn't be
when you're in the water?
Sure, sure. But you can notice that anywhere in the city or north of the city also, because especially if it's raining, you know, if the levels in the Chicago River get too high, a lot of times I'll open the locks, and that's a lot of raw sewage going into the
lake. What's the jurisdiction or the liability here? Is it a city issue? Is it a state issue? You know, who's in charge of keeping the lake clean?
Well, for Northwest Indiana, it's a state issue.
Okay.
The EPA is looking down on them and watching them, sort of. And that's why Surfrider got involved in this legal action. We felt like the EPA was not doing enough, so we're trying to...
Who are the defendants? The city? The city and the state of Indiana?
The defendants are U.S. Steel.
U.S. Steel. And, okay. And they made a deal with the federal government for a consent decree to clean up, so they put the lawsuit on hold, and now you guys are looking to open it up again.
Yeah. We're awaiting a judge's decision on that. We should know something early August.
Both of you, tell the listeners at home this concept of what it does to you, because that was also in some of the articles that we read just in the last couple of days about what it does to your skin. When there's stuff in the water, you guys know it because of the way that it deals with your body.
Yeah, we've had a few surfers who have had urinary tract infections. So whatever's in the water is going to attack those vulnerable orifices.
Is it a contact thing or an ingestion thing or both?
I think it's a bit of both.
Because you can't avoid either, obviously.
Yeah. Like, you're not supposed to pee in your wetsuit.
Sure. I think if there's a lesson from today's show, kids, that ought to be it. Don't pee in your wetsuit. Right.
But the reason that being is that it's the compounds and the chemicals, they can have adverse reactions to the body.
Yeah, yeah. I think... one thing Mitch and I were talking about, I mean, Mitch was telling me that he wants this to be, it's sort of like the tip of the spear in terms of, like, there's a lot of issues about the lake that Lake Michigan that need figuring out, and they're complicated in the sense that, like, what happens in Indiana will affect what happens in Illinois on the coastline. It'll affect what happens in Michigan.
Right, those dominoes don't fall far, do they?
Yeah, yeah. There's an oil pipeline that's 10 years plus past its due date running across the Straits of Mackinac on the floor of the lake. If that broke and spilled, that would be huge amounts of oil in both Lake Huron and Lake Michigan.
So, Mitch, the bare minimum here is you want to make enough noise here so people understand that there's an issue. Before the issue was so obvious, everybody has to understand it, and the damage has been done.
That's right. We want to let the powers that be know that someone's watching them, other than the EPA right now. We want to put a little more spine in the decision and the penalty,
so that it's more than just a minor slap on the wrist.
Well, this feels like the movie, right? Because the big corporate lawyers, we've got more lawyers than you do. We've got more money than you do. Are you guys running up against any of that?
U.S. Steel is well represented, yes. And
install is sometimes the corporate game, right? Make it last so long you can't afford to pay.
We've been seeing some of those tactics.
For you guys, as you know, this is the high time. As you mentioned right now, the waves are good on Lake Michigan. You know, but this is a 24/7.
This is rare that we have a good multiple day swell in the summertime. Is rare.
High,
is
day three.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a world in which that you can't surf on this lake? That the water is not in the right condition and it actually causes bodily harm. Are we in that kind of future, short-term future?
That swirl, yeah.
I don't think so. As long as there's guys like Mitch that are standing up for issues like this. I mean, like, look, in the 60s and 70s, the lake down there was basically uninhabitable, unswimmable, and it took basically all of the citizens that lived down there who were the employees of U.S. Steel and
the Clean Water Act of 1972 is a big event.
Yeah.
Signed by Richard Nixon.
What could go wrong?
And it took a woman named Lee Botts, who lived down in the Dunes area, working with a senator from Illinois named, I think, Paul Douglas.
Point being, all of this is a good fight to fight.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a good fight.
It's not just about you guys having access to the water, because it affects people who will never go near a surfboard.
Mitch McNeil is with the Surf Rider Organization, the Chicago chapter. He's a chair. And Pat Noyes is the filmmaker who South End, The Place Where I Surf, is the film that you can find
online.
And you
can Google that up.
And you can Google that up. And guys, can't thank you enough for coming in and talking about
what's it feel like if you're in January, you're in the wetsuit and you fall in the water? What's that feel like?
It's about, do you know about, like, type 1 fun, type 2 fun, type 3 fun?
No, explain.
So, like, type 1 fun is something that's just fun all the time.
Okay.
Type 2 fun is something that's, like, it's fun, but it's more fun to relive because it's kind of, like, hard while you're doing it. And type 3 fun is, like, death-defying fun, you know, fun where you almost die. I'd call winter surfing type 2 fun. There's about a 10-minute period of just, like, pure total suckiness garbage where the exposed part of your body, which is just your face really, is getting numb, and then you're good.
Once you get past that point,
yeah,
you're good.
Yeah.
That's like every good fun, type 2
yeah, fun.
Exactly.
Again, we've learned more today. Yeah, that, right, being in, yeah, the wetsuit, you got yourself an there educational,
you
show.
Exactly. And you know what, there's nothing better than getting outside no matter what the weather's like. You know, that's one thing about modern technology, as great as it is, it keeps people inside, and it keeps the more that we connect to the digital world, the more we're going to end up sacrificing the real world to these big corporate interests. And it's really important for people to get outside and do things.
Get out there.
Last question, 217, is there a GoFundMe page or any other way we could help with your legal fund? And if not, will you have it up by the end of the day?
I would rather people just go to chicago.surfrider.org and get involved, volunteer,
okay,
and that'll do it. We're good with the legal team.
Nice to see you guys.
Thanks, guys.
It's cool.
Thanks.
Listen, you guys are way cooler than we are, and that frustrates all of us.
That's not true.
Are you surfing today?
I don't think so. I think I came in here instead. And
oh, dude, I didn't feel like I ruined your morning.
No. I also, I just bought a 1978 Dodge van, and it's in the shop, so...
You are a walking, talking movie, my friend. You really are. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Nice to meet both of you. One more time on the movie title.
The movie is called South End, The Place Where I Surf.
The Place Where I Go Surfing. Sorry,
The Place Where I Go Surfing. Pat Noyes is the filmmaker. You can find it online. It's also on Vimeo.
And Google Surf Rider Foundation, help where you can. Stay healthy, fellas. We're back with the headlines next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It is 9:48. Bill and Wendy back together today? They worked through their problems?
Yeah. Maybe.
They got out of counseling? What do we know?
I don't know what we know, but I don't think you could stay at Disneyland for more than 3 or 4 days.
They make you leave eventually?
You want to leave. You're like, all right, that's enough. I'm done.
You taking Miles to Disneyland?
We've been twice. I really, really enjoyed it. I've actually, to be honest.
Are you being sarcastic?
I think it's been 3 times. No, I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I think it's a great vacation. I like it a lot. Yeah, I was telling Wendy. Yeah.
The most ridiculous part of Disney, though, is that Future World thing. What's that called?
Tomorrowland.
Where everything's outdated.
Yeah, but that's what's fun about it, right? Yeah. We go to Disneyland in California, and that's where Wendy was going, because we're more of the old school.
Well, Disney World in Florida has Tomorrowland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we were just there a year and a half ago, and the race cars, the slot race cars.
Yeah, it's funny.
With the 1974 technology are still there.
Autotopia.
Right. And the animatronic Hall of Presidents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They actually had the Hall of Presidents shut down because they hadn't added Trump yet. I think they were waiting to see if he was going to last. I have dueling chicken stories. Dueling chicken stories. I guess it's in honor of Orion. A baby was just born at a Chick-fil-A. Obviously, it wasn't on a Sunday.
Yeah.
But a baby was just born at a Chick-fil-A. What do you think Chick-fil-A is doing now?
I heard this.
Free food for life for the kid.
Oh, there you go.
Chicken.
I think you can't immediately go to the chicken sandwich, though. Yeah, is there a combo the newborn is good for?
Is that just liability from the lawyers? They're like, we got to do free food or this baby's going to sue us.
Free chicken for the rest of their lives. I like a Chick-fil-A. You're a Chick-fil-A fan?
I like Chick-fil-A.
They have a great salad.
Wouldn't have said that.
That's
called Chick-fil-A. You're not supposed to eat salad there.
And yet another chicken story. A giant inflatable Trump chicken dressed in prison stripes is going to be flown into the air near Alcatraz. A giant inflatable Trump chicken dressed in prison stripes. It set sail yesterday. According to organizers, it was aimed at circling Alcatraz. The sign on the prison transport said, "Release your tax returns. The public demands it."
Well, there's no doubt I'd like him to release his tax returns. I'm not a huge fan of the protest art, the inflatable protest art that we seem to be fixated on.
It is catching on like crazy.
Well, it's
in London. It's here.
They're going to have the pigs in front of the Trump Tower that were going to be the float. Did they ever do that? They're the floating gold pigs they were going to do?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it ever worked out.
I just feel like, I guess that's creative, but I'm just there's a limit to the creativity with inflatables.
I just have never seen, and for you Trump types who want to go, I wonder who's a part of this problem. I have never seen a president who gets less respect.
Yeah,
ever. Now he asked for it.
There was a great piece. I don't want to give away too much of my habits, my personal habits, but I do watch CBS Sunday Morning. And
it's a great show. Why wouldn't
you
watch
show.
It?
Yeah. But they had a great piece on civility. And it was really playing on this idea of with the Sarah Huckabee Sanders not getting in the restaurant, and how we're seeing more. And we talked about that on the show, but how we have this very unique situation where the president demands civility when you see it at rallies, other places, civility, but he doesn't preach, he doesn't lead with it.
Nope.
He's uncivil, and he shows it in different ways. And it's a parallel to respect.
Exactly right. And there's a lot of people who have been hammering on Melania because of her non-bullying campaign as first lady, saying, well, why don't you talk to your husband? She has no control over him.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that she's trying to at least address bullying, she ought to get credit for that.
Well, there's a lot of people who go, and you see this a lot on Twitter, people are like, good, I'm glad that the president's not civil. I'm glad. It's about time we had someone blow it up.
Yeah, it's not right. It's not right. And Business Insider, 31 most underrated American cities to live in. Chicago, number 10.
Underrated, huh?
Underrated. In fact, part of the story is that don't believe the national press. It's the 10th best city in the country to live in, based on the criteria they use in this particular poll. Business Insider, if you want to Google that up. Bill and Wendy coming up, 720 WGN.